asking the guy who comes from Kenya in the warm weather. It's a little bit, yeah. So let's start with a word of prayer. God, we honor you tonight, Father. We thank you, Jesus, because your love is such an amazing love, oh God. We thank you, Father, because your presence is here, God. We came here, God, to meet you, Father, to get a touch from you, God, to experience you, God, to take something that we can walk with, God, every single day, God. And like my sister said, God, sometimes we feel like we are at the end of our ropes, oh God. And we just need you tonight, Father, to reassure us, God, that your presence is here, God. That the plans that you already have for us, oh God, that those plans are in place, oh God. And Jehovah God, we need your advice. We need you to show us what we need to do. So Jehovah God, we can receive you, Father. We praise you and we honor you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So today's title is Fear of Freedom. And I'm just going to jump into it, okay. So I got a question for you as we start today. Are you operating from freedom or are you operating from fear? And if you said you're operating from fear, yeah, maybe that's because you see some stuff. But if you said you're operating from freedom, how do you know you're operating from freedom? How do you really know? I know some things are obvious, but how do you really know that you're operating from the freedom, Christ-based freedom? How do you know that the freedom that you have is based on Christ? Because what happens is we build stuff around us and we think that's freedom. But the question is, how do we know that we are walking where God wants us to be and that we have that freedom that God has a plan for us? So this evening, I want to ask to allow God to examine us and let us know which side we are on. So by the time we leave this place, that we not only have an idea, but we know exactly where we are and what God is expecting us to do. See, at first I was thinking, you know, if somebody asked me, you know, hey, are you operating on freedom or are you operating from fear? My thing would be like, yeah, I do have freedom, but, you know, I'm leaning a little bit towards freedom and maybe there are a little bit of fear that I have. Yeah. But then when you think about it, with God, there isn't a little bit of this. Yeah. It's either you're hot or you're cold. It's an all or nothing proposition. Yeah. We cannot say that we are acting from freedom and then say we have a little fear, because the minute that fear touches the freedom, guess what? It becomes all fear, right? And don't get me wrong, I know fear is real. You know, I personally, I don't like heights. I don't care what you tell me, I don't do heights. In my house one day, very little roof, I went up there and, you know, we were cleaning the gutters, and I told my wife, I'm going to get up there. After, like, honey, we need to clean the gutters. We need to clean the gutters. And finally, I was like, I'm going to be a man. I'm going to get up there. So I got up the ladder, and I got, and I made, like, 3 steps, and my legs started shaking, okay, so bad to a point where I could not move past that. And then I was like, honey, I think we need somebody to bring me down. that's how bad it was. And I know that, you know, fear is real, but then the good thing with knowing that something is real is because you can plan to overcome it. Like me, I'll never go up there. That's one thing. You plan to avoid it, right? Then you also make plans to make sure that you're not in a place where you have that fear. See, the thing is, even though fear is real, it's not permanent. And especially that fear that stops us from being who God has called us to be. Most of the time, we are caught up with the little things here and there. But the biggest thing is God has a plan for you. And if you have that fear that is stopping you from there, yes, you might be here today with that fear. But if you seek God, if you continue to seek him and tell him to reveal these things in your heart, he's going to be able to bring you that place, because fear is not permanent. Yes. See, freedom is real as well. But again, freedom also is not permanent. You have to fight for your freedom. You have to fight for freedom so that you can continue being in freedom, yes. Right? See, but the thing is, when you're operating in freedom, you make wise decisions that help you choose more freedom. Versus when you are operating under fear, our decisions are based on fear, and so we make non-wise decisions. Right. So think about it again. When you're operating in freedom, which means freedom is part of you, you are operating in freedom, right? But then when it comes to fear, we are operating under fear, which means that fear is on top of us and it's ruling everything, right? See, daily we get to choose which one we're going to follow. every single day you have a choice. Am I going to follow fear or am I going to follow freedom? And trust me, I could be technical and pull all kind of researches, and you don't need to go far. Go to the internet and you'll see people talking about the things that you can overcome, the things, real fear. And I don't take light of that. I know that there are fears out there and stuff like that. But what I know and what I'm looking at is I'm looking at the word of God that tells me that everything is possible under God, right? See, when I'm of the world and when I'm thinking of the world, then yes, those things can consume me. But my Bible tells me that nothing is impossible in Christ, right? It says nothing. It doesn't say some things are not possible, but it says everything is possible in Christ. And also, too, it continues to say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So it's not just like that thing that happened is like, I can do that. But it's only through when Christ comes in me, and then that point he gets to tear that apart and push me towards freedom. See, Matthew 19:26, Jesus was talking to the disciples and says, he looked at them in tendency. Humanly speaking, it is impossible, but with God, everything is possible. Yes, he was talking about this young ruler, young guy who had money, and God told him that he was, hey, what can I do to go to heaven? And he says, go sell your stuff, and then, you know, then you can go and you can come to heaven. And then he ended up leaving sad, and the disciples were amazed, like, what's going on? And God was like, it's easier for a camel to go through the needle than, you know, than somebody who's rich. But what he was talking about is the heart condition itself. So he's telling to them that when we look with our own eyes, we see things that are impossible. But when we partner with God, he takes us and walks with us and tells us that, you know what? It's possible with God. So consciously or unconsciously, every day we are making choices. Either you don't have to sit down and think, okay, I'm choosing fear sometimes. Sometimes you do, you know, like my case with the roof, I'm choosing not to go up there. But when it comes to all this other stuff, you sometimes you just default to what you know. You don't. And so my thing is, as I read this, I was thinking, first of all, I love to conserve energy. I don't like to do more stuff that I need to do. That's my favorite thing. I love to conserve energy. And so if I'm going to make unconscious decisions that make me have more fear, why don't I take the time to understand what I can do and who I can partner with, so then the decisions that I make are in tune with what God has called me to do. And on top of that, you think about it, I get to a point where I practice doing that, talking to God every day, telling God to guide me, telling God, hey, I need you to take me from this place to the place that you've called me, to a point where even my unconsciousness started doing the same thing without me making that decision. All right? See, I want to learn how to affect my decision to favor me, regardless of where I'm at. And so today we are going to examine three things. One of the things we're going to examine is we're going to recognize where we currently are. Where are you? Are you on the fear side or are you in the freedom side? And then we're going to look at how can we be guaranteed of this freedom that we are seeking? Because all of us are looking for freedom, right? Yes. All of us are looking for freedom, right? Yes. Okay, not just a few, okay. This side only, right? Okay. So, this other side too, right? All right. And, the other side. No fighting. Okay. And then the third thing is, how do we achieve this guarantee? So, number one, how do we recognize where we currently are? And with that, we're going to look at a story from 2 Kings 5:14. So, the story of Naaman. So let's read from verse 1. The king of Naaman had great admiration for Naaman, the commander of his army, because through him the Lord had given Aram great victory. But through Naaman was a great warrior, he suffered from leprosy. At that time, the Aramean raiders had invaded the land of Israel, and among their captive was a young girl who had been given to Naaman's wife as a maid. One day the girl said to her master, I wish my master would go and see the prophet in Samaria. How he would heal him of leprosy. So Naaman told the king what the girl of Israel had said. Go and visit the prophet. The king of Aram told him, I'll send a letter of introduction to you for you to take to the king of Israel. So Naaman started out carrying a gift of 750 pounds of silver, 150 pounds of gold, and 10 sets of clothes. The letter to the king of Israel said, with this letter, I present my servant Naaman. I want you to hear him. So let's stop there for a second. So we have king of Aram here, and he has this warrior who fights for him, wins battle. And like I said, God has given him favor. But he has leprosy. And back in the day, leprosy was attached to sins. So the Armenians had raided Israel, and they had taken a lot of slaves. And so among those slaves was this young girl who had been taken, and she had been placed to be taking care of Naaman's wife, to be taking care of Naaman's wife. And so this girl is seeing Naaman, who's the master, if you want to say that, and she's like, he's sick, and I know a prophet from my place who can be able to heal him. So he tells the wife. Wife goes and tells Naaman. Naaman goes and tells the king. So what I like about this part here is the king. So it says, go and visit. So verse 4, it says, go and visit the prophet. The king told him. And then I will send an introduction letter to the king, and then all this other gift. The girl did not say that. Did not say that. Wait a minute. Here, let's see. So I have to read one more verse down there. I jump a little bit. So, verse 7, when the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his clothes in dismay and said, am I God that I can give life and take away? Why is this man asking me to heal someone with leprosy? I can see that he's just trying to pick a fight with me. So the king was not told that the king of Israel was the one who was going to be healing. He said, there's a prophet who's going to be doing that. But because he had all these gifts, and then even the letter, when he sent the letter, he says, I am sending you my man, go ahead and heal him. So when he was sending him, he had an idea of what was going to happen. He was just stepping in to be like, well, if you go with these things, if you behave like this, if you speak like this, then guess what? You're going to be healed. And that's the same way sometimes we come to church and we come to God. We are like, you know what? If I bring my sacrifice, if I work, if I go and help in a Sunday school, if I prayed for my friend, if I did this, then guess what? God is going to be obligated to bless me. God is going to be obligated to touch me, right? But then, verse 8, when Elisha, the man of God, heard the king of Israel, had torn his clothes in dismay, he sent this message to him. Why are you so upset? Send Naaman to me, and he will learn that there is a true prophet here in Israel. So Naaman went with his horses and chariots and waited at the door of Elijah. But Elijah sent a messenger out to him with this message. Go and wash 7 times in the Jordan Sea, then your skin will be restored and you'll be healed. So the king says, Elijah tells the king that he's going to heal him. And so I love the Bible because I picture all this thing in my mind. So he's coming with all these chariots. He has all the gold and he has all this stuff. He's going to buy healing, right? That's what it sounds like. What he's going to do. He's going to buy healing. And so he goes and he comes to this place, and the king says, well, go to Elijah. He's going to be able to heal you. So the king and his chariots and his people and all that stuff, he goes and waits at the door, waiting there for Elijah to come and heal him. What does Elijah do? He sends a messenger. He sends a messenger to go tell him, I need you to do something. I know that, yes, you are expecting to buy freedom. I know you are expecting to buy healing. I know that you are expecting to just receive it because you showed up. But I need you to go and do something. Yeah. And this thing I want you to do is not only just dip yourself one time and get healed. I actually need you to dig deeper and realize that you lose your pride, you lose all these other things, and you just come like you are. Can you just think about it? So he goes over there, and he has to go into the water, and there's Ami and everybody looking at him, right? Don't forget, this is a guy who is mighty, who's been winning wars. People bow to him. People, like, just respect him, right? And, like, probably scared of him, right? And he's probably angry because he's sick too, right? Yeah. So, yeah, and now he has to go get in the water one time, come out. Nothing. Okay, second time, get in the water, nothing. Fourth time, get in the water, nothing. 5 times, 6 times, 7 times. What is that doing to him? What are the people looking? Every time he goes in, his pride goes just a little bit. Every time he goes in, his control goes just a little bit. Every time he goes in there, something is broken of him. And see, that's what God wants with us. He's telling us, yes, you are here. Come, come. But before you come, you need to leave all that, you need to leave all those chariots. You need to leave all that, all those gifts that you're bringing. I need you to come just like you are. Right? Verse 11. But Naaman became angry and stalked away. I thought he would certainly come to meet me, he said. I expected him to wave a hand of a leprosy and call the name of the Lord his God and heal me. Aren't the rivers in Damascus and Abana and that other name better than any of the rivers in Israel? Why should I wash in them and be healed? So Naaman turned away in rage. But his officials tried to reason with him. Sir, the prophet said, if the prophet had told you to do something very difficult, wouldn't you have done it? Right. So you should have certainly obeyed him when he said simply, yeah. Can you guys say simply? Yeah. Go wash and be cured. So Naaman went down the Jordan River and dipped himself 7 times as the man of God had instructed him. And his skin became as healthy as the skin of a child. And he was healed. See, this is our perfect example of who we are. See, we are broken. We know that we are hurting. We come here because we want God to do something, right? Yes. But in the process of it all, we don't take the simplicity of just come to God. Just come to me. We want to be told to do some difficult stuff, you know, read like, which is the long book in the Bible or something, you know, read something that... Leviticus, yeah. You know, it's like we want to, if God was like, okay, your freedom and your healing is going to come from Leviticus, guess what? That's what you want. But if God is saying, you know what? Healing is up here. You know, freedom is up here. You know, breaking those boundaries are out here. All you have to do is walk down 5 aisles to come up here. We do not want to do that. Yeah. Right? See, we want freedom from sickness, oppression, battles of the mind, from all the things that tears us down and puts us down. And see, we are crying to God every single time to rescue us. But see, we have preset plans in our mind of how things are going to happen. Yeah. See, our pride is holding us back because, well, if it doesn't show up this way, then what are people going to think? Yeah. If it doesn't show up this way, then what is that going to do for me? Well, we want it to be in a certain way, but yet we are still suffering. So we are choosing to stay in suffering, in fear, instead of going to freedom just because we can't break from that for a minute, right? See, what I love about it is there was the smart servants. They are like, hey, why don't you just do the simple stuff? Why don't you just come up? Why don't you just come up and do that little thing and get healed? See, Naaman wanted Elijah to come down and wave his hand and for him to receive instant healing. But Elijah did not show up. He sent a messenger. Another word for a messenger is a go-between, an advocate, a person who pleads for or in behalf of another, an intercessor. Can you guys say intercessor? Intercessor. Good, you guys said it just like I did. Perfect. See, I don't know where you are today, and I don't know what your quest for freedom looks like, but I'll let you know this. A messenger for you has already been sent. He has a very simple message. Come to Jesus, all who are weary and burdened, and he will give you rest. Yes, see, you don't have to go looking for him. You don't need the chariots. You don't need the wealth that he has. You don't need all those things. He's already here. He's saying, come as you are, walk to me, and I'll give you that freedom. There is a message for you. So number 2, how do we guarantee this freedom? By listening to the messenger. Yes. John 16:7 says, but I tell you the truth, and this is Jesus speaking, It is for your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, a helper, a comforter, an advocate, an intercessor, a counselor, a strengthener, a standby will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him, the Holy Spirit, to you to be in close fellowship with you. So let me paint this. I had somebody talk about this, and it changed my life how I look at the Holy Spirit. So you think about it. Jesus is telling the disciples they've been together for about three and a half years, right? Every single day, he's healing, he's teaching, he's doing these amazing miracles, nothing they've ever seen before. So their thinking is, I want to hang out with this guy for the rest of my life until I die, right? And we think about it. We want Jesus, don't we? We really want Jesus. We want to wake. We have songs about Jesus. We want Jesus. And yes, I'm so glad that he came. But check this out. Jesus is telling them, but I tell you the truth. Kind of, you know, Pastor Matt version, it says, can I be honest with you? Like, you know, right? So he goes like, but I tell you the truth, right? So which means that he's saying, I think Pastor Matt, that's what he means. Draw nearer so you can listen. I don't want you missing this point, right? So he says, it is to your advantage that I go away. So wait a minute. Jesus has been with them for this long, every day, feeding them the word, the food, and all these amazing things. But he's saying that it is for your benefit that I go away so I can send somebody else, right? He's saying, I'm going to send a counselor, a strengthener, somebody who's always going to be there with you, right? Who's always going to be always there with you 24/7. See? But we don't think about that. Give me Jesus, and I love Jesus. But Jesus is saying, I already gave you. But now, guess what? I also sent you somebody who's going to stand on my behalf, who's going to be with you every day, guiding you, helping you, walking you to freedom, because that's what I want for you. And not only now, you don't have to go to a certain city at a certain time or have to drop people from the roof. All you have to do now is just call upon the Holy Spirit. So then you have Jesus in your heart because that's his advocate, right? See, John 14:26 says, Jesus speaking, but the healer, the comforter, the advocate, but the healer, the comforter, the advocate, the intercessor, the counselor, the strengthener, the person who's standing by, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in the name, in my place, this is just Jesus saying, in my place, to represent me and act on my behalf. He will teach you all things, and he will help you remember everything that I've told you. So the Holy Spirit is supposed to take root where Jesus is supposed to be. But we miss this. We miss this so much that every single day we are just walking and thinking, Jesus, where are you? Jesus, where are you? And Jesus is saying, I'm there through the Holy Spirit. Why aren't you recognizing that I'm there? I need you to know that I am here already, right? See, he's saying, drop all your ideas on how your freedom is going to be achieved. You need to drop those ideas. You need to stop looking at your past experiences. See, the rivers or the things that you think are going to happen might be, you know, like Naaman said, the rivers are cleaner, they are bigger, they are amazing. But that's not what God wanted for him. That was a prior idea of what that would have been. And the same thing God is saying, drop all those ideas and come to me just like the cure. Come, allow the messenger, listen to the messenger and take that message so you can get to your freedom. See, we have to listen to understand the Holy Spirit. We not just listen because, you know, the Holy Spirit speaks, but we have to listen to understand what the Holy Spirit is speaking. See, for Naaman, the messenger was saying, go and get healed. But what he heard was, go and do some work. Yeah. That's what he heard. So he didn't listen to understand what the Holy Spirit was saying. The Holy Spirit was saying, the messenger was saying, go and get healed. So the Holy Spirit is saying today, come. Come, I will give you freedom. Come, I know what you need. Come, I intercede for you. I intercede for you between God and me. So basically what that means is I talk to the Holy Spirit. I'm like, Holy Spirit, this is going on in my life. And Holy Spirit says, okay, Kevin, wait. Goes to God. Okay, Kevin is saying all these things. God says, well, I know what Kevin is saying, but guess what? These are the plans that I have for Kevin when I created him. So go and tell Kevin and help him to align with what I was created for, so then everybody walks in harmony. See, that's the work of the Holy Spirit. But when we are trying to do it on our own, guess what? I'm just hammering on the prayers. God, why aren't you moving? God, why aren't you? But God says, I can't even hear you because that's not in my plan. And he's saying, I already brought somebody, the Holy Spirit, to change your life, to listen to you, to intercede for you. But then you're not paying attention. So God can hear you. But then it's like when you talk with the Holy Spirit, he goes in there and talks about you. He helps you. He pleads for you. He pleads for you. So then when he pleads for you, then he comes and tells you how to behave. And then your life starts changing. And then you're in tune with what God is saying. And before long, it's kind of like a beautiful dance, just in harmony, right? See, 2 Corinthians 3:17 says, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Yes. True freedom. See, we can try things all by ourselves. We can try. But it's all poop, dung, right? Yes. It is nothing. It's a waste. Freedom that we experience is going to be partial freedom. It may feel good right now, but it's not going to be permanent. Because the minute you step out, then there will be another fear. There will be an extra fear. And then that fear with the other fear, that the other fear on top of the other fear. You never know, right? See, I love the Holy Spirit because it says he intercedes for us. He prays for things that we don't even know are in our hearts. See, Romans 26:27, and the Holy Spirit help us in our weaknesses. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for. But the Holy Spirit prays for us with groaning that cannot be expressed in words. And the Father who knows all hearts knows that the Spirit is what the Spirit is saying. For the Spirit pleads for us believers in harmony with God's own will. Yes. See, I don't know about you, but have you ever had like a stupid thought in your head that came in and you're like, that is not me? Yeah. Okay, some of you are lying. let me ask again. Have you ever had a stupid thought? I call them stupid because that is not me. Have you ever had a stupid thought in your head, right? And you're thinking, you're like, no, that is not me, right? And you keep fighting and you keep trying to get it out of your head, right? But nothing. So tell me, if even a little thing as a thought can come in from nowhere without you knowing, think about the things in your heart. How are you going to pray for those things in your heart that you don't even understand that in there? Yeah. Right? You think about it, it's that point where we have to believe and bring the Holy Spirit so he can take inventory of our mind, our hearts, and more so our intentions. Yeah. Right? See, he prays on our behalf. It's like kind of when you go to a doctor and, you know, you only have a headache. You go to a doctor, you have a headache. You just want the doctor to give you some prescription Tylenol stronger than what's over the counter. But then you go in there and the doctor says, no, we need to run a couple of more tests. So, you know, run some tests and they find something, and then before long there's all these treatments that you need to do. So you think about it, it's the same thing that the Holy Spirit does. We go to the Holy Spirit and it's like, okay, this is what I'm experiencing. We just want a quick fix. Fix something for me. Fix, you know, my thoughts, fix my income, fix my kids, fix my marriage, fix my addiction, all that stuff. We just want that. But then the Holy Spirit is kind of like these doctors. He looks deeper, opens up, cleanses in there, so then he can get the root cause of it. But if we keep praying for just the one cause all by ourselves, it's not going to be working because the issue is deeper, right? See, Psalms 139:23 says, search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Yes. Right? Because those thoughts, you are anxious, but yes, you might think it's that little thing, but there's also a bunch of other stuff that are coming behind. Right? All right, number 3. How do we achieve this guarantee? We achieve this guarantee by creating room for the Holy Spirit. this evening, I have a question for you. Does the Holy Spirit have a place in your life? Does he really? Do you know this counselor on first name basis? Is he your constant companion when you wake up, when you're going throughout your day, when you sleep, when you wake up? Are you talking to the Holy Spirit? Are you guys in a relationship where he can be able to guide you with everything that you're doing every single day? Are we really, or are we just saying it? Are we really, 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 really telling, waking up in the morning and like, okay, Holy Spirit, today we are going to the market. Let's go together. Guide me. Show me what I need to know. Show me what I need to work on. Are we saying, okay, I'm going to go hang out with my wife with my wife at lunchtime today. God, Holy Spirit, what kind of word should I have? What kind of conversation should we have? Are we telling him? Are we involving him? Because again, he's our helper. He's our encourager. He's our intercessor, right? He's standing by every morning. He's like, I'm right here. Let's go. But some of us, what we are doing is we are like, Lord Jesus, thank you for this day. You are amazing. You are cool. It's going to be an amazing day. And you be lying to the door. The Holy Spirit is like, excuse me. You're standby over here. All night, you didn't speak to me yesterday. You didn't speak to me yesterday. You didn't speak the day before. What are we doing here? He's pleading and crying for you because he can see you on your knees praying, asking God for all these breakthroughs, asking for freedom. But you're not doing it the right way that God is telling us to do. He's saying you don't even need to yell. You don't need to cry. You just need to come like you are and listen to what, tell the messenger so he can plead for you. And again, we can conserve energy, and that energy can go to blessing other people, right? Because what happened is we become all caught up with our own things, and we are doing it for our own self. And then before long, we don't have any energy to even encourage our brothers and sisters, right? See, if you are paying attention this evening, I didn't talk about specific fears of freedom. I didn't, because everybody faces different stuff. But what I spoke about, I spoke about the Holy Spirit. I spoke about your comforter, your advocate, your intercessor, your counselor, your strengthener, the person who stands by and waits for you, searching you and revealing that which is holding you back from freedom. See, our God is such a specific God. He's such a specific God that he knows who he created you to be. And when you speak to the Holy Spirit, he's not going there and trying to flip the book, trying to find your name. He already just go over there and be like, I know what my son needs. I know what my daughter needs. Go and tell him to walk in this path. Go and tell him that this is what I need him to do. And then through that again, it's a back and forth. He's interceding. He's a messenger. He's an advocate. He's talking. He's fighting for you. He's pleading for you. You know, he's telling God, I know he has a good heart. I know he loves you. I know. But then there's this one thing that's making him do this. And God is saying, okay, I'm going to give him a little bit of chance here so he can change. Go and work with him. I created him. I put love in his heart. I put this in his heart. Guess what? Go and increase more of that in his heart. And then he will be able to move. He will be able to change and be who I called him to be. Right? I'm preaching better than you guys are saying amen. We're supposed to be together, okay? See, you can try all we want to gain freedom, but without the Holy Spirit, you are using your own limited strength. Why are you using your limited strength when you have somebody who's willing to intercede for you? Why are you doing that? Does it even make any sense? Why would we try to go lift something when you have people who wanting to move this stuff and set it up in your house? Why would I even want to do that? Right. Again, I love to conserve energy. My wife knows that. Why would I use my own strength to do things that the Holy Spirit is saying, let me do this for you so then I can give you a lighter burden which you can be able to carry, right? See, tonight, If you haven't given your heart to Jesus, you don't get the privilege of this awesome helper. You don't. You are on your own. See, freedom is something you will not achieve on your own. And the Lord sees the day of salvation is today. Give over your life to Christ and test his goodness. He will not disappoint you. And see, and for all those who have already received Christ, but yet you're not experiencing freedom. You're not experiencing the full Holy, you're not the full, the fullness of the Holy Spirit. God is saying, create room for me. Create room for me. I'm a jealous God. Okay? I'm not gonna be in there with other stuff. It's gonna just be me and me alone or those other things. I'm not gonna be part of that. Okay? He says, God says, choose this day who you're gonna serve. Are you gonna allow control to keep you in fear, or are you gonna lose control and choose freedom? Either way, you're choosing something. Either way, you're choosing something. See, as Christians, most of the time we want a little bit of this and a little bit of that. Yes, I'll do all this stuff, but then I don't want a little bit of this. That is fear. And that fear takes away freedom. Yeah. See, we're gonna play a song here. And as we do, I want you to allow the Holy Spirit to come into your life. I'm gonna ask people to come up here, kneel before, because God is here. The Holy Spirit is over here. I'm gonna ask you to come, and if you really, 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 really need freedom, I'm going to ask you to come over here and just speak directly. The helper is here. The helper is here. He's like, I've been waiting for you. I'm standing by. Come over here. And if you haven't given your life to Christ and you need that freedom, today will be another best chance for you to do that today. He's standing here and says, come here and let me in. Come to the altar. I'll step aside and you want to start playing that? I'm going to step aside here a minute and just allow the Holy Spirit to work in you guys. So let's all stand up. And as this song goes on, if you need freedom, come up and just speak to God. If you need healing, if you need whatever you need, I'm not the one who's providing. The Holy Spirit is here. He's saying, come over as you are. Come over and receive that. Come over. Don't hold back. Trust that God knows you. He has a plan for you. He knows you. He knows the plans that he put in your life. But fear is stopping you. Don't let fear stop you today. Come up. Ask God to just work in your heart today. And then in a few minutes we'll pray and we'll release everybody, but in the meantime, just allow yourself to just speak to God. And I'll pray and then we'll release anybody who wants to go, anybody who wanna stick by and come and worship and just allow God to love on him, just go ahead and do that. So let's pray. Father, in the precious name of Jesus, we honor you tonight, God. We thank you so much for your Holy Spirit, God. You tell us today, God, that we are nothing by ourselves, God. That, Jehovah God, we've been trying all by ourselves, God. But tonight, Jehovah God, we thank you, Father, because we now know that we need the Holy Spirit, God. If we didn't know before, God, that we now are equipped, O King of Glory, God, to have an intercessor, to have somebody that goes on our behalf, God. So, mighty King of Glory, I pray for every person here, God. Everybody who's in this room, O God, Father, that they will experience your Holy Spirit in a way that has never been before, God. That, Jehovah God, their life will be changed, O King of Glory, God. That, Jehovah God, you're going to take hold of your life, O King of Glory, God. And, Jehovah God, something new has been done tonight, O God. Mighty King of Glory, I praise you and I honor you, God. I thank you for our church family, God. I thank you for your presence, O God. We love you, God, and we thank you that we carry you, Holy Spirit, throughout the week, through our days, in everything that we do, O God, so that we can have freedom, O God. break any fear, God, that is in this room in the precious name of Jesus, Father. Jehovah God, do what you do, Jesus. Do what you do in the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. 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 So if you want to leave, you can go. Don't forget, go get your kids. Sunday, come to church. And, yep, have a good one.
Faith and Victory live stream. If you'd like to learn more about our church, please check us out online at faithandvictory.com. We're also on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat, and we'd love to connect with you there. If you'd like to financially support Faith and Victory Church's ministry, please text FAVC to 77977. God bless you and keep you. From the FVC Live team.